For those that didn't catch my name is Eddie. I have the privilege of hanging out with in the family ministry area most of the time. I get to play with kids and, you know, lead young adults and stuff like that, which is awesome. For you guys, for the first time, if this is the first time you've been here, we've been going through a series called Time Your Life. And I just want to kind of reset what we've been talking about. In the first week, our main objective is for us to realize that there's a lot of us that we get kind of hung up in time, don't we? I mean, we have our days scheduled out. We think about time in such a way as I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. I've got this meeting. I've got these practices to go to with my kids. I've got to be on time for school. I've got to wake up in the morning. I've got to go to bed at night. And as we've become more adult-like, as we've become more and more wrapped up in our schedules, we began to realize that we haven't always thought like that. We were little kids. We didn't think about time like we do now. It was almost non-conceptual. It's one of those things where we just kind of just did our thing. And as we got older, as we became, you know, elementary age to even high school, time was kind of our thing, right? I mean, it was fun to go out in the backyard and play for 4 or 5 hours, but we didn't think we're out there for that long. But it was terrible to ride in the car to grandma's house across the state because we had to spend time in the car with mom and dad listening to music that we couldn't care less about, right? And as we became more and more aware of time as we got older, many of us, we began to start plugging in our schedules, and we realized a couple weeks ago that, man, we're super busy. We're so just flooded with stuff that we don't have enough time for it. And we paused last week, and we read a prayer from Moses. We read a prayer from Moses, and in that prayer, Moses said something that was profound. And what was funny, he was talking about theology of time. He was talking about how God views time and how time is basically at God's feet and how he is above time, but how we sometimes don't view time as fast as it is until some monumental moment happens. And maybe that's where Moses was. Maybe Moses just thought, you know what? I need to stop in the middle of my prayer about God. I need to ask him to do something. I need to beg him. And our prayer for that whole week was Psalm 90:12. And it was, teach me, Lord, to number my days so I may get a heart of wisdom. Because ultimately what Moses was after, and I think ultimately what we're after as we look at our schedules and as we look at the fact that as we get older, we get married, we have kids, we then have grandkids, and we're trying to fit all this stuff in. And what Moses was saying was, God, teach me to count my days. Let me know that I don't have forever. I have a very short, brief period of time, and I need to get locked in on what you're doing in time, what you're doing with time, and how I can begin to organize my schedule to where, God, maybe I need to be thinking a little bit more about you as it relates to time. And then last week, Jonathan did a phenomenal job of expressing the fact that there's, for many of us, in our busyness, in the fact that our lives do continue to run and run and run and run, where we get lost in the sight of what's most important to us, in the sight of what we feel like we need to be, you know, gaining and growing and doing in our lives, that for many of us, we run to those things and we try to spend a lot of our time on the things that, for many of us, we're afraid to lose. Or for many of us, we just really, really want badly. So we go after those things that make all the noise in the world. And we put those things, like Jonathan explained last week, at the top of our priority list, or at the bottom, at the foundation of where we build our time. And then once we get that thing wrestled and settled, whether it be our job, whether it be relationships, whether it be, you know, that one thing we really like to do in life, hobbies, whatever, we begin to realize that, man, once we've got that settled, there's other things that are starting to make noise. And it's out of fear that we prioritize our lives. And Jonathan went to Matthew 6. And in verse 33, Jesus says, hey, I've got something better for you. Because what we end up doing, we start putting things in the improper priority. We start putting things and building things foundationally that just don't fit. When we all know that, man, God should probably be number one in light of the fact that he's outside of time, in light of the fact that he created time, in light of the fact that he's God and I'm not. Jonathan said, hey, let's put God first in our priorities. Let's listen to Matthew 6:33 and make that be a part of our day, where we put first or seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added. All other things can be added after that. But if we get that one part right, we begin to trust him and not live life out of fear, not live life out of anxiety, but really honestly trust him, things can happen for us. A benefit is there. Wisdom is found in those places, in those moments. But here's where we are today. And here's why I am. As I've looked through these messages the last couple of weeks, and as I've thought about taking in information like we guys give you every Sunday, I began to think, how do I process that truth? Or how do I process information in general? And a lot of times what happens is I'll hear it with my ears, right? You guys with me? That's how most of us take in information. We hear it with our ears or we see it with our eyes. And a lot of the time we come to the conclusion, yeah, that's probably right. We say to ourselves, you know, that's right. I know I do. I think to myself most of the time, whether that be whether or not I need to turn off the lights before I go to bed, is that a good thing to do? Yeah. Nobody wants the bright lights in your room while you're sleeping. We don't even think about some of the stuff that we do that we know we need to do. But there's other times where I hear good things and I'm listening to truth and I think to myself, man, that's right. And I settle in my heart, yeah, I probably need to do that. But when it gets to the point of me actually doing or putting into practice those things that I learn throughout my day or even over my lifetime, I tend to fall short. I tend to think back when I was a little kid. I mean, think with me. When I was a little kid, you guys weren't there, but I was. I remember going outside and playing in the front yard with my buddy David. I remember spending a lot of time outside. And there was times where I needed to come in. If it got dark, if mom said, hey, I need you to be back by a certain time, we've got dinner ready. And every time I would go outside, I'd think to myself, you know what? When I get done playing, or when it's that right time to come in, I probably need to come in. I was even settled in my heart, you know what? While I go outside and I play, I probably need to come in when mom and dad told me to do. But the problem was, I failed to do that most of the time. Where mom and dad would have to come outside, and my dad would be like, Eddie, lunchtime, Eddie, it's dinner time, it's getting dark, where are you? And I have taken myself from where I was supposed to have been and go to a different location where mom and dad have to go on the hunt. And that was never fun for me, nor them. But even when I got into high school, I mean, the times where I understood rules that my parents would give me, things that I would learn, it didn't really change much in what I actually did with them. For example, we had a rule back in the day because I had the luxury of being able to carry a pager in high school. Those were awesome. You had to go find, it was the hunt was going to find the payphone and the amount of change you needed to make the call back to mom if she needed something or dad. But see, for me, the rule was, if you're going to go to a different place, you better call me and tell me where you're going. But what I would always do, I would take that information in, I would believe with all my heart because I was scared to death of my mom. I'm not kidding. And then I'd forget and then go do something else, or I would be like, it's not that big of a deal. I'll catch up when I get to that place. The problem was, mom was like a detective. And she would always call where I was supposed to be 5 minutes after I left. And then she would always be like, and then she'd finally find me, and then I'd get the discussion of a lifetime on why don't I listen to her? Why don't I do what she asks me or tells me to do? And then I thought to myself, man, I wonder if I'm like that in my spiritual life. I wonder if I take in what I learn, let's say on a Sunday morning, and I recognize it right up here, and it just fits perfectly in my brain. And then it moves its way down into my heart where I believe it, and I absolutely am just locked in on this and where I need to go and what I need to do. But for some reason, I just don't do those very things that I need to do. Are you guys with me in that? You guys know what I'm talking about in that? Where you catch something, you know it's true. It could be on a Sunday morning. It could be just in general. And you settle it here. You know it in here. But you just don't do anything about it. And when I think about that, when I think about knowing things, understanding them and settling and aligning my heart with those things, but not doing those things, I think about a story that many of us have heard since we were little kids. And I want to walk through this story. It's better than a story. It's got a better name than story. It's called a fable. And in this fable, there are two main characters. There's one that was built for speed. I mean, this guy is absolutely shredded, completely muscular, built long legs, just built for movement. This other one built for protection. He's not built to move very fast. As a matter of fact, he can't go very fast, very far without taking a big, huge break. Matter of fact, he can't go very fast, very far, ever. This guy is not built for speed. And yet these two characters, they get into discussion, they get into argument, because one of the characters is bragging about how fast he is, that he's the fastest thing in the world. And this other one is like, man, I'm tired of hearing how fast you are. Let's do something about it. Let's race. If you guys haven't caught on by now, the fable we're going to talk about today is the tortoise and the hare. And every time I think about not doing that one thing I know I should be doing, I always go back to this story. As a matter of fact, as I was preparing for this Sunday, the story popped into my brain. And I thought, hey, what a great time to express that story that I feel sometimes when I don't do the very thing I know I should be doing. So you guys remember the story, right? The tortoise and the hare, they meet up on the starting line. It's dawn. And then somebody with all the rest of the animals around them fires off the little gun. And the race begins, right? And the race gets going. And then all of a sudden, the tortoise is putting that right foot in front of the left foot, and that back foot in front of the other back foot. And he's doing his thing at tortoise pace. And the hare just looks at him like, really? This is my competition? I'm going to do something better. I'm going to take a nap. If this is what I have to face, if this is what I have to go through, if this is what my competition actually is, dude, I'm going to take a 5-minute nap and I'll get back to it. And when I get back to it, everything's going to be fine. So that's what the hare does, right? He lays down, he takes a nap, and he wakes up and he kind of rouses himself to his feet. He's like, oh, where's the tortoise? Oh, he's just a third of the way down the track. I can still see him. Everything's fine. It won't take me a split second to catch up with him, blow right by him, and win the race. What does he do? He does like I do. He goes eat breakfast, right? He puts it off. He goes to eat breakfast. Instead of engaging in the race, what's he do? He goes eat breakfast. And he sits there, and he finishes his meal. But like most people after Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, he's tired. And he takes a longer nap than the first nap. Instead of a 5-minute nap or a 10-minute nap, maybe it's a 30, 45-minute nap. And we don't know how long the track was. But we know that while the hare was sleeping, the tortoise was moving at tortoise pace, right? Just 1/4 of a mile per hour, by the way. I Googled that. And the hare hasn't done anything. He hasn't even left the starting line. He's just sitting there, napping, eating and napping. And then all of a sudden, he gets woken from his sleep. I don't know, maybe it was his conscience saying, you probably need to get in the game. You probably need to get in the race. You probably need to wake up and do something about your competition that you know is laughable. It's a tortoise, for crying out loud. You're a hare. You're built to go 45 miles an hour. There's no way you should lose this race. What happens? The tortoise is almost to the victory post. The hare sees him after he looks around for a while because he can't find him. He's like, where did the tortoise go? His ears perk up. He notices right by the victory post, and he just starts off in a mad, just complete balled out sprint, just gone. And he's just doing all he can, right? Just get everything fired up. I mean, he's got the breakfast in him. He's got the energy. He's ready to go. He had his naps and he's ready to go. But all of a sudden, as he begins to gain on the tortoise crosses the victory post first. And the hare's left standing there, lost. He lost the race. The thing that was guaranteed for him to win, the thing that he had right here in his hands, he knew it. This is no competition for me. This is nothing for me. But what the tortoise didn't do is what the hare did. The hare put it off. The hare came to some conclusions that cost him the race. And as I think about the hare and I think about his attitude, things begin to pop into my mind about why was the hare doing those things? Why was he so overconfident in those things? And why is it sometimes that I feel like, you know what, in life, I've got plenty of time to invest in my wife. I've got plenty of time to spend with my 2-year-old and my 4-month-old that sometimes I even rationalize that they don't even remember the memories that we're making right now. Isn't that bad? Or I'm just lazy, like the hare. I mean, who naps during a race? But yet, there's some times where I can go outside in the backyard and play with my little girl. But it's just a little too cold. Or There's just a little too much stuff on TV that night or that afternoon. Where I put it off. Or maybe I get distracted. Maybe I fill my time with the things that just are unnecessary, like the breakfast. I mean, come on. The hare had a race to run, but instead he stopped to eat breakfast. And I'm thinking to myself, where is it in my life that I stop and get pulled off to the side and don't really lock in and focus on my time spent with my Heavenly Father? What emergency do I bump into? What problems do I tend to have that keep me from drawing close to Him regularly, daily? And as I thought about this, and then as I thought about this series, I'm wondering to myself, am I the only one that does this? Am I the only one that hears something that's true, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I need to do? Whether it be like in our case, numbering our days. Whether it be like in our case, settling in our heart that we need to put God first. And yet for many of us in here, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, we haven't begun yet. We haven't gotten active with it yet. We haven't done it yet. And the scariest part about it is that we have the attitude of the hare. And when we have the attitude of the hare, who loses? The hare. And I find myself late at night thinking, you know, lying in bed. Sometimes I'm woken up. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I can't get to sleep because I'm wondering, when is it that I'm going to begin to do the things that I've learned to do? When is it that I'm going to begin to engage in those things that are necessary for me to engage in? The memories that I need to create, the attitude that I really need to carry, the fact that for many of us, maybe we've put on that hair attitude. And more times than not, we've seen the truth. We've settled within our heart. And yet we've done absolutely nothing with it. We put it off. And we believe, you know what? I've got plenty of time to catch up with it. I've got plenty of time to get back to it. I can do whatever's necessary whenever I need to. But the hare couldn't run any faster than he did to catch up, could he? Once he got engaged, it was just too late. And that's how it is in life, is it not? There's just time that we go by. We just can't get back. And for me, as I think about myself spiritually, and I hope maybe this lands with you guys too, it's like, wow, what can we do differently? How can we react differently? How do we miss having the hare attitude? Well, guys, here's what's cool. Here's what's awesome about our Bible, is that there's so many instances in it where they talk about time and us. And God, and how it all relates, and how it all ties in, and the attitude that we should take. And we're going to be looking through Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to look on the screen, I'm going to be in there for a little bit. And what we're going to do, we're going to kind of get some insight into what Paul has to say as he's speaking to a church that's trying to figure things out. He's speaking to a church that he wants to understand that, listen, knowing it up here and settling it in here, but not actually doing anything with it, gets you nowhere. Knowing it up here, settling it in here, but not actually doing it anywhere, is loss. And here's he begins in chapter 5, verse 14 of Ephesians. This is what he says. Awake, O sleeper. Hello? And arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Get up. Get started. Don't waste any more time. Because when you do, Christ will shine on you. We've got no time to waste. Your race has already begun. And if we don't get started, what happens? We lose. He says, verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Not as the hare who thought that a nap, a breakfast, and another nap was the proper attitude to take up during a race. that in your life, when you think to yourself, all right, I've decided to number my days. I know that time is short. I know that these things matter. I know that my family matters. My kids matter. My relationship with God matters. I've got all that settled. But I don't do anything about it. Like, I've yet to engage. I've yet to carve out that time. I've yet to restructure my priorities. I've yet to put God actually first. I hear it. My gosh, I hear it. But I've yet to do anything about it. That's what the unwise does. And Paul's saying, to me directly it seems, walk as the wise, not the unwise. Or don't walk like the unwise, but as the wise. Verse 16, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. Now what does that mean? Back then, Paul's churches that he was founding were under severe persecution. There were people going around trying to kill them on a daily basis. And Paul's like, dude, you don't have time to waste. You need to engage in what Christ has got us engaged in, loving others, loving God, service, relationship building, putting him number one, all those things. You don't have time to waste because you might run out of time, literally. They might come snatch you out of your house today. And that's your life. Boom, done. And Paul's saying, listen, make the best use of the time that you have. Make the best use of the time you have. If you catch something on a Sunday morning, if you catch something out in your daily life and you know it's true, Paul's saying, man, make the best use of the time. Put it into practice. Get it done. Go, 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 go. Start. Don't be like the hare and just, you know, fall back into that slumber. He goes on to say this, verse 17. Therefore, then, if all that's true, if that's something you need to do, don't be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul's saying, guys, listen. In the event that you struggle with doing the very things that you know to do, don't be foolish. Just get started. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Seek out his will, which is simply to know him and to know Jesus. That's it. And then once you put that into your priority list as A number one, all these other things begin to make sense, begin to click, begin to roll into place. But see, here's what happens. We don't take our lives a lot of times. We don't think to ourselves, you know what would be great? To do life, in the case of our story that we've been talking about, like the tortoise does life. I mean, think about it. The tortoise was a lot like what Paul was describing, is he not? The tortoise knew that if I don't get started, I'm going to lose. Did the tortoise have any time to waste? Not a step. Because he almost lost by a step. Or a fraction of a step. That he had to get going immediately. That he had to engage immediately. That he had no time to sit and plan and think and overthink. And oh, here's what I got to do. And I got to do this. And I've got to figure out the wind direction. And man, if I could really have a skateboard now, I could really get down the hill a little faster. And I'm only built to be so fast. And man, I've just got all these things going on. And yet he just got out and did it. Went out and did it. Eliminated excuses. Went out and got after it. And as we sit and we hear the story of the hare and how the hare lost, but the tortoise won, we realize at the end of the day, who do we want to be? The tortoise? Do we all need to get tortoise tattoos? Tortoise t-shirts? Right? Tortoise flags? Put them on our car in our house? Hang them on the rearview mirror? Just the tortoise, right? I mean, tortoise. But we don't think tortoise. A lot of times we think hare. Because hare is cool, man. He's fast. Without the hare doing all the silly things he did, wouldn't it be cool to be a hare? I mean, think about it. Blazing speed. Allowed to just kind of just hop around in a meadow doing your thing. No care in the world. But what we need to be thinking about, we need to be understanding, is that the hare attitude was so costly, and yet the tortoise attitude was so great. He wins. Hooray! But how do we treat that, though? How do we treat the tortoise attitude? How do we treat ourselves in light of that? Where it seems so much easier for us to just do the hare thing, right? It's so much easier for us to think, I've got plenty of time. It's so much harder for us to incrementally move in the direction that we really, really, really need to go. How much easier for us to get distracted by the things that are kind of peripheral and not really lock in and focus on the things that matter the most. How much easier it is for us to become kind of lazy, kind of settled in the things of God and in the things of our families and in our things of even jobs. Instead of making the most of every opportunity, making the most of that moment, just taking that step like the tortoise did. I mean, it's not pretty being the tortoise, folks. Sometimes it looks downright ugly. I mean, have you seen a tortoise? They're not pretty. That's just not something you'd want in the backyard running around playing with the kids. Come on, hang out with the tortoise. You wouldn't want to put a leash on that thing. You won't go anywhere. Just wrap him up. If you can get him in there, he has, you know, the ability to kind of slink back in. So if you can, you know, distract him, lasso a little bit of a chain around him, you might be able to go this fast for as long as you want to, and then you'll stop, because this is no way to get cardio, folks. I promise you that. It's not fun being the tortoise. But at the end of the day, the tortoise wins. And even in our lives, when we know we need to start doing certain things, when we know we need to be who we need to be, when we know that once we've understood and recognized in our brains, yeah, that's right, settled in our hearts, man, I've only got so much time left. I need to put God first, yada, yada, yada. Boom, we need to do something. But for many of us, we get fearful. We get more hare-like than tortoise-like. And here's what's so cool. Paul's not done talking about our time. He's not done talking about why it is and why it's so important for us to do those things that are necessary for us to do when we need to do them. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, he even speaks about a race of all things. He talks about a race. And in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he begins by saying this: do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, except for the hare, who just posts up, takes a nap, eats breakfast, takes a nap, and then runs. But only one receives the prize. Only one gets the prize. He says, so run, so they may obtain it. Now, is Paul talking about a literal race? No, he's talking about your life. He's saying, listen, in your life, you have a race to run. You have a beginning point and you have an end point. And wherever you go in the track of your life, and what you get done in the track of your life, you need to get it done in such a way as you're going after a prize, because all runners run for a prize. And in our lives, we shouldn't take for granted, I shouldn't take for granted the time that I have left, the activity that I'm doing at the time, that I need to actually be active in that. He goes on to say, verse 25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. I mean, think about our buddy the tortoise. How easy it would have been for him just to stop. He's only going 1/4 mile an hour. He could have just gone boom, 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 and just been done. What would he do? He kept going. He had a goal. He was focused and locked in, because that's what athletes do. And he was an athlete. You can imagine him with his little headband on, wristbands around the legs. He was ready to go, and he went. He got after what the one thing he needed to get after, and that was the victory post. He wasn't distracted by the hare's complete lack of regard for the race. He knew what he was doing. He was self-disciplined. What else happens? They do all these things, these athletes, they do all these things to receive a perishable wreath. But for us, Paul says, believers, Christians, we go after something that's imperishable. We go after something that lasts forever and ever, that cannot be taken away from us, that doesn't rust, that doesn't get all dirty, He says when Christians engage, when Christians engage in their life and they're active in their life, where they're actually doing the things they're learning in their life, that they're going after something that, God has set out for them, that there's some eternal value to putting these things that you've learned, that you know are true, that you've settled in your heart, and actually doing them, there is some eternal reward for that, folks. And Paul's trying to get his Corinthian church to wake up and see that. And every so often, I have to rouse myself and say, listen, I've got to get up and do something. I've got to get up and get this stuff done. And yet, the tortoise is just steady plotting, right? Just going after it. He's got his goal. He's set about doing it. And he's just taking that step every day to get it done. Paul goes on to say, so I don't run aimlessly, right? Paul's like, in my lifetime, I don't go around doing things that are just non-value added. I go around doing things that matter. But I'm thinking to myself, in my life, I don't do that. I can recall and count all the times that I've wasted, times that I just didn't get started, times that I knew I should have done a few things, but I just wasn't doing them. And Paul's saying, guys, listen. I don't beat one as boxing the air. I don't box as one beating the air. That when I'm in my self-discipline mode, when I'm doing the things that I need to be doing, when I'm putting my feet forward like the tortoise did, when I'm just racing, when I'm not thinking about it, when I'm not planning it, when I'm not preparing for it, when I'm not putting it off, when I'm not thinking I can do it tomorrow or the next day or the next day, I can make up for it over the years, when I'm not doing all those unnecessary things, I get things done. I get things accomplished. My relationships, they begin to become more full. The time I spend my Heavenly Father becomes richer and richer if I just take one step and put it in front of the other. If I just keep going, just like the tortoise, keep going, just like the tortoise. He wraps this up by saying, hey, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul knew there was some gain and there was some loss in what he did with the time he had on the planet. Moses knew, Paul knew. And it's interesting, those that adhere to this type of wisdom, that actually put what they've learned, what they've settled in their heart and aligned their heart with as true into actual practice, all these things just kind of just start making sense. All the stuff that God starts saying to us in his word that we're just confused about, we don't understand. Paul's saying, just start doing something. Be like the tortoise who just took a step and then another step and then another step and then another step. Because we don't want to become, and we don't want to be distracted too much of as is the hair. We view life as something we can just do tomorrow. We can just catch up on. We view our relationship with our Heavenly Father as something that we can just, oh, we can pick it up the next day or the next day or the next day. Because what happens over time, as we keep putting things off, is that the relationship becomes more and more and more distant, just like the distance between that tortoise and the hare. The tortoise was not blazing a trail, folks, but slowly but surely, he became out of sight. And if we don't engage with our Heavenly Father on a daily basis, slowly but surely, the relationship we have with him is incrementally, through neglect, through laziness, through overconfidence, through arrogance, through whatever it is, just begins to travel away. But here's the hope. All we've got to start doing are the very things that we know we should be doing. Day by day, incrementally. And all of a sudden, instead of the distance growing, the gap becomes shorter between you and your Heavenly Father. The relationship between you and your wife or your husband, your kids, the more time you spend with them on a daily basis, the more incremental additions you make with your time, the more restructuring you make on a daily basis, just say, listen, I know I'm not getting anywhere today, but I will get somewhere sometime. I know that today doesn't look like I'm doing anything positive, but I know over time it's going to be great. I mean, think about the tortoise. His first couple of steps, there's no way he thought, I'm winning. He thought, it's just a matter of time before he catches up with me. But what did the tortoise do? He kept stepping forward. He kept making decisions. Activity was what he did while the hare did nothing. while the hair took a break, while the hair kind of just passed it off as maybe later. So my hope today is that for me especially, that I will not view my time like something that I have to put off anymore. That when I hear something that's true, like that I need to number my days. I need to know that God is ultimately in control. That I need to spend my time as though it's His time. As though it is going by at a mile a minute. As though all these things do matter. And then ultimately, who goes first as it relates to my priorities is the one that doesn't make all the noise. God. And that when I begin to filter those things around God, when I begin to put these things on the foundation of God, when I begin to actually do those things, guys, there's reward there. There's joy there. There's that sense of accomplishment there. There's movement there. There's, oh my gosh, as you look back over time of doing that day by day by day, of actually doing that thing, it becomes so much better. It becomes natural almost. Because I think by the end of the race with the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise was comfortable on his track. He knew exactly where he was going. And he knew, hey, I'm just one step closer to where I want to be. And guys, if we've had it settled in our heart that Jesus is where we want to be, if He's who we want to be with, if living and following Him is something that we aim and strive to do, all we're saying today, and all I'm saying today, especially to myself, is just start doing those things that you know to do. Begin today doing that very thing you know you need to do. And I promise you, the changes that will happen as a result won't be immediate, but it's okay. Won't be flashy, but it's all right. Because over time, they will be monumental. So that's my prayer today. As we continue on Sunday mornings, or anytime you hear a truth, that you won't just let it just filter around and just bounce around in your brain, and you won't just let it slide into your heart and fit nicely and comfortably there, but you actually give it legs. You actually take your truth that you've learned and you actually put it into practice. And that we realize that, hey, when someone says for us to number our days, we start numbering them. When someone says for us to put God first, we start putting God first, because at the end of the day, we only have so much time left, right, guys? So as I close, as I pray, I want you guys to think about doing that thing that you know you need to do. Taking that step in the direction, whether it be with time with God, whether that be with your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, whether that be at your job. Making that step, doing that thing that you know you should be doing and should have done a long time ago. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe that's where you need to make a step. Because guys, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. We all battle this. We all struggle with this. But it's something that I know that our Heavenly Father wants us to engage in. He wants us to get in the game, to move forward, to run the race, to participate. Because when we do, we get more of Him. And that's ultimately what's best. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. The fact that it's just a big book with a lot of truth in it. And when we have opportunities to hear it, to see it, and to read it, that we also have immediately an opportunity to do it. That it's not something that we necessarily need to put off. It's not something that we need to just say, I can do it later. But God, when we hear a truth, we don't need to let it just stop in our brains or our hearts. We need to actually actively do those things. And God, I pray that you'll give us those moments, those areas in our life, those situations where we need to be more like you, where we know what we need to be doing. We just aren't doing it yet. God, convict me. Convict us. Let us feel your presence in this area and let us get it better, because ultimately, once we confront those issues, once we meet those issues with activity, God, it could be huge for us, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, our future. God, our time is short, and you deserve to be number one. And God, I pray that we make that a reality this week. It's in Jesus' name, amen.